This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com and your host. Joining me for a session of Mad Few question and answers, Mr. Phil Shaw, Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Are you ready for these questions?
Always. Let's do this. Let's get into it.
What do you think people will be asked questions about?
Recipes, puddings.
Do you think their Villa concerns are at the moment, Phil? Since this numpty doesn't know what what to say.
Their concerns. I don't know what their concerns are. Because
a lot of first world problems.
Yeah, a lot of online things says there is no concerns. Everything's been modernised.
Then you can't be negative, David.
When you're top four, can there be any concerns? Well, let's find out, shall we? The Mad Few questions are provided by both members of the Mad Few Facebook group that we have that is dedicated to this show. So if you haven't joined that yet, there'll be a link in the show notes where you can just jump in and join that. And also the My Old Man Said members as well have submitted questions too. We'll make sure that this Mad Few sessions is a monthly occurrence. Supporting the show, something My Old Man Said's been using for a few years now, NordVPN are offering our listeners an extra special deal because it's their birthday, where as well as big savings on their plans, you get 4 extra months free. NordVPN allows you to watch your favorite screens and other content no matter where you are by switching your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. It also protects you from people monitoring what you are watching, which can be useful for various reasons, as well as protecting your safety. One NordVPN account protects up to 6 devices, so you can pretty much protect a whole household. To find out more about the benefits and also access their birthday savings package, go to nordvpn.com/moms, and to top it off, you also get a 30-day money-back guarantee as well. Let's start, shall we?
Let's do it.
Derek Curley asks, should we be thinking about trying to stay in the top four, or is it trying to win silverware the priority in an ideal world? Both would be brilliant. Do you think Emery has a preference in trying to move the club forward, Champions League place or cup?
Both.
Staying in the top four is imperative. And of course, that is Emery's mission 100%. You can't pick and choose when is a good time to be in the top four, because it's all about when opportunity knocks.
And this is a huge opportunity.
And we're in a very similar position as we were under Martin O'Neill. And we had probably more of a lead. I would say
8 points, didn't we?
Yeah, we had more of a buffer. And we didn't win in March. I think he could never win in March. March was always his bad month. And the stakes are higher nowadays. And you can't make the same mistake of fading out and then have a fan base go, oh, sixth's good. Sixth is shit.
When you look at the table,
Sixth is okay if you're mid-table at this point and it's positive forward motion, you know, a bit like last season where we came out of nowhere. But when you've been second and third and in the top four for a little while now, you've got to have the ball sack to carry it over the line, haven't you, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just need to look back at O'Neill's time again. Sixth place wasn't good enough three seasons to keep, well, Ashley Young, to keep Downing, to keep that squad together, even when O'Neill left himself. Milner. Yeah.
That's a good point, because that is your blueprint to what happens. These are players that wanted to taste that success with Villa, and actually pretty much all of them, your Milners, your Barrys, all stayed at extra season, didn't they? There was a real fight because they had ambitions, personal ambitions, and because of the new owner, you know, Randy Lerner, there was money going into the club. We were building a decent squad, well, let's say decent first 11, and it just needed a couple more pieces really to probably force the issue in terms of winning something or top four. But you saw what happened. They wanted to stay on, but ultimately it's like, well, actually, this is all we are now. We're a team that finishes sixth. I want to play in the Champions League and I want to win things. And you can put out a puff piece interview saying, oh yeah, we're not letting players go anymore, which they wouldn't do at this point in time when you're in the top four. But you try saying that if you fail to get in the top four the next couple of seasons, do you really think Martinez will stick around? Do you think Watkins would? Do you think Louise would? Louise, the wind blows and he turns his head.
Look at what happened to Leicester.
It's imperative to stay in the top four. Silverware for me in this season is something like, it's not a booby prize, but you know what I mean? It will ease the pain because you want to win things, and top four, you know, ultimately is just finishing fourth or third. Win something and it's etched into your history. So you don't choose either or, and Emery will definitely be trying to win that Europa Conference League because that's the easiest thing we can win, I think, ever.
Mm-hmm. It's so seldom we go into anything as the favourites.
Yeah, it's the easiest thing we've been in for years to win from the offset. So you've got to seize that opportunity. The answer is we've got to stay in the top four at all costs. That is the objective. And there is a tinge of failure if we don't, to be frank.
Unless you get lucky with fifth in terms of, you know, you're relying on other teams to get your coefficient up. If fifth place is enough, so be it. But just finish fourth and don't let it come down to it.
Also, ironically, we're also relying on ourselves for fifth place, because we would, for England to get the coefficient now, because we're actually behind, I think, Germany and Italy at the moment. Villa would probably need to win that Europa Conference League. We'll be helping ourselves.
In a strange way, that would actually kind of be maybe the perfect way to do it. Win a trophy and it gets you into the Champions League. That'd be great.
Yeah. So yeah, while the prize is Europa League, if you win the Europa Conference League, actually in the Villa sense of the
could be Champions
equation,
League.
Could be Champions League. Rich Clark, is this season a disaster if we come fifth or sixth and not qualify for the Champions League and don't win a cup? And conversely, which three of the current players would you most like to end up with in a Munich late-night drinking den in the early hours of the 1st of June 2025, celebrating Villa winning the Champions League? These two questions completely contradict each other, really, don't they?
They're at both ends of the spectrum, aren't they?
The first one is, it's not a disaster.
No. It's progress, it's just not the progress we've...
I don't know what
that is. It's an opportunity missed.
It's like letting a lead slip. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because you're there.
It's not a disaster is getting relegated. It's not good if you don't finish in the top six and don't win a cup.
Oh, yeah, from this point.
Yeah, if you're in the Europa Conference League this season, you don't win it and you end up in it next season, it's like, well, whatever.
Agreed.
But the thing is, financially speaking, can you improve this team? It becomes this double-edged sword, catch-22, where next season you think, right, we can improve this team. But if you finish out the top six we're talking about here, you might find it harder. One of those two top guys may flee the nest because they'll be like, well, if we didn't do it this season, then, you know, what chances are there? So there is that potential. It might be harder to... How much money is there, wiggle room, financial fair play, etc., to bring in, make some more big splashes to actually improve this team? I don't know. But if you go with like calendar year of 2023 and you're the second best team, that shows you've already got a team good enough to finish top four.
Big thing for me is keep people fit. Keep people fit, keep them in form, and we're going to be all right. And in the other half of the question, which three would I want to go on the piss with in Munich? McGinn,
probably Martinez. Martinez would be my first choice because, you know, there might be a post-party barbecue in the offering.
Oh, yeah, nice asado. Nice.
Yeah, so Martinez, McGinn, who else?
I don't know. I'm going to look at it differently. I'll agree with Martinez. Maybe I'll throw Dean in there just for in case he could recommend some nice wine or something like that, just being French. No, I'm stereotyping there, but still.
Yeah,
taking that. And then maybe Bailey or Traore just to liven things up.
Yeah, throw in Bailey. I'll throw in Bailey. Nick Price Thompson asks, what does a good season look like from here?
Winning
the Europa Conference League is my first step, because then you've qualified for the Europa League, regardless of what happens in the league. I think the league where we are now, where we've been, is a disappointment if you don't make the top five. I think if you finish fifth now, you'd be like, okay, fair enough. And then you'd have to hope that that champions... I mean, Villa's luck probably wouldn't get you there, would it, that fifth spot? But I think fifth, even where we've been, is would be par for like not being pissed off.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree
if you
with
finish
that.
Sixth, you're like, yeah, we've faded. And we've done
that's
a Martin
a
O'Neill.
Drop off, that is.
We've done
it's
a Martin O'Neill. Off. So fifth is the lowest I would accept in terms of just personally feeling like, well, we you know, gave it a shot and just didn't have it in the end. And but it still might be good enough to get Champions League. But we'd probably have to win that goddamn Conference League. Sorry, Phil, what do you think a good season looks like from here? Minimum.
Hang it up. I think you want one of the, I mean, if you're putting Champions League position in the league and the Conference League final up there, I want one of them tied up before you're going into the other one. I know it's wishful thinking, but I don't want everything to be riding in one match again.
That would probably mean you'd finish fifth anyway, but regardless of getting in the Champions League or not, would that be enough?
Champions League would be enough for me, yes.
Champions League would be a seismic.
I know, I'm talking about finishing fifth, but not making Champions League.
No, not enough.
I think fifth is as good as we've done for 1996.
Very, very long time.
I'd say that's a good season, fifth. Regardless,
it is, to be honest.
You'd be in Europe, which a proper European competition, as Zerbi says, we don't want Europa Conference League. So I think that's when, if I was a fan listening to Phil Shaw saying that's a bad season, fifth, I'd say, what the fuck's he talking about? No defence to that?
Just from where you are at the minute, I think fifth.
The thing is, it's over a season. It's not like over half a season. But if you've got half a season's points in the bank, then you expect there's an expectation where you can finish.
And I just remember 98, 99 under Gregory, top at Christmas.
Yeah.
We were top at Christmas. We didn't even get in Europe. We didn't even get in the Intertoto.
But we've been, you know, I've seen two title races like that I remember vividly. That faded. We finished second still. You're really disappointed. But you see who it's against. Liverpool, first one. Manchester United, the second one. But, you know, we're here today. I can live with that. And if we finish fifth this season, it's like, well, we've improved drastically.
Huge but amount.
Yes, we've probably missed it. It might be a sliding doors moment in terms of where we could have gone, like long-term.
Mm-hmm.
But in the, you know, in a one season where you haven't even looked like finishing fifth for so many years, or decades, then I would say fifth. But Phil, you got to defend yourself.
No, I'll be honest. I'll be disappointed if they don't get top four. I'll be disappointed because that's just me. I'll live with it like I have before.
Fair enough.
It's not a given, though. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's definitely not a given. But I think they have the quality to do it. It's just sort of like it's going to come down to their mentality. That's what it's going to come down to.
I also think it's we said on the previous show, and we've become the hunted now, and we're a target for the first time in fuck knows how long. I mean, it's been so long since teams took us seriously, and all of a sudden everyone's like, fucking hell, Villa look a good side here. And I think that makes the second half of the season, when you start getting towards the business end of the season, if you're still in touch with these teams, games get bigger and bigger and bigger with every week.
Matthew Birchmore says, if we sell one player in the summer for FFP, who will it be and why?
Sadly, possibly Martinez.
Ooh.
This summer?
If we're not in the Champions League.
Where's he going? That's a separate question, but where's he going?
Spain.
Who can afford him in Spain? Madrid, but they Courtois
will be back, so I don't know. But it's a hard one. It's a hard one to work out. You know, he seems to be very settled and happy, but these things can change.
No, I agree. But I think if Martinez went, it's too big.
No,
a
hang
loss.
On a minute. This is we're rephrasing. The context is that Villa are being forced to sell one key player as opposed to not finishing in the Champions League or
in that
whatever.
Sense, if we're being forced to. I would play the game with someone like Dina and send him off to Saudi for an inflated price. There you go.
The best will be Kamara because he costs nothing.
True.
Yeah, so you would probably think about it in terms of who is the more easily replaceable. I mean, I wouldn't be...
Oh, Martinez is irreplaceable, isn't he? You'd have to go a different route.
wouldn't be punting out Martinez, Watkins at this stage.
He's just signed a new deal.
And if you sold Watkins, you'd have to buy a new striker straight away. So the FFP situation, because you're going to have to get somebody.
Balance yourself out.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a tricky one. If somebody said 100 million for Douglas Luiz, oh yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
I think with where we're at, you've got it. You've got to take those deals. I don't think there's anybody who can afford to keep a £100 million player when the money is put on the table.
What about 50 for Ramsey?
50 for Ramsey.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Pure profit.
But I'd still consider him a key player. He's
still got upside to become a £70 million player.
I mean, we're talking in this day's market where it's crazy that we're even talking about these sums of money. But in terms of this season, he's still, if Ramsey comes to the party, that is like a new signing. So I forgot about that in terms of when we were talking about, you know, Zaniola needs to step up, Duran, Diaby needs to recapture his form from the early part of the season. But another one would be, haven't really been playing with Ramsey. He's only started 8 Premier League games. So there's potential there to help us re-energize. So what have we gone for here? We've gone for Luca Dean. I'm going for Douglas Luiz just for 100 million. Just that's kind of an inside joke on the when I would have taken 25 million when he was pretending he wanted to play for Arsenal. Right, next question, is it?
Yep.
Dave Waldron, how long do you think they'll stick with the Villa Terrace view?
It depends how we're doing in the league. And if we were to get top four, they will fucking rinse that Terrace view.
Yeah.
They won't get rid of it. They'll double the price of it and go, it's the only way to get your Champions League tickets for you tourist fans.
Same reason, there's a lot of why that North Stand isn't being built, because the pants are turning brown going, oh shit, if we get in the Champions League, we'd be losing out on, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 tickets at £60-70 plus. So, and certain people obviously want the figures to look good while they're working at the club. So that's another thing. There's a lot of short-termism potentially that can kick in here. But yeah, Terrace View, I think they want to keep that because people buy into it. And if there's demand and you're making money out of people who think it's something when really it's just what the whole concourse should look like to a certain extent, then you're going to take advantage of that. Ali Hamad says, can we have a badge we don't like forced on us? If the club do that, what avenues do we pursue to get it altered?
Well,
this issue isn't about the design of the badge at this stage. This is about the FA Rules of Association, the new ones that cover heritage assets like the badge. Rule M8, no club shall make any material changes to its club crest without first undertaking a thorough and extensive consultation with its supporters. M9, a club must be in a position to evidence that the majority of its supporters are in favour of a material change to the club crest prior to making any such change. Aston Villa's fan engagement plan 2023-24. This is done by the club in accordance to Premier League rules of FABs, fan advisory boards. So the first thing on the Aston Villa fan engagement plan, heritage assets. The club has identified the following as heritage assets that we regard in scope for fan consultation and when consulting will ensure compliance with all elements of the FA rules of association related to heritage assets. Name, Aston Villa Football Club, the club crest, stadium name, Villa Park, stadium location, and the colours of the home strip, claret and blue. So essentially, both of these have been violated by the second badge. And that is the problem here. This is like all this like, oh, yeah, we got rules for this. And, you know, we're doing this fan consultation engagement plan charter. What's the point of doing it if you don't follow it? This is the contention that we have now. This breach of the rules, the club have packaged up essentially the first consultations and fan survey and made out that this is all in support of what their change is, which is kind of interesting because that first consultation and basically said, and this is the club's words, you know, the crest does not represent Aston Villa well. This is the shield one. There is no emotional attachment from supporters to the current crest. Only 19% of fans who filled in the first survey claimed to like the current shield shape. And then in the final vote, only 8% wanted to keep the actual shield. So it's interesting how you can flip from that to then suddenly this recent survey was put out with the proviso, oh, we're going to have a shield. That's what it actually said that on the survey. And then it said, does a shield represent our heritage? It's like, you know, do you want a star on your shirt because it represents a European Cup? You think, well, European, it's a binary thing, isn't it? Well, you'd rather say yes, because it does represent winning the European Cup. If there's no context of why it might be better to go a different route. And the same with the 52% of people strongly agreed, apparently, that the shield design best reflects our heritage. Now, that is set up for the purpose of justifying the shield for the FA, even though at every step of the way in that first consultation where they say, you know, I've already said why people didn't want the shield and the vote for it. And the other thing was the yellow line doesn't work. It's, you know, it's too kind of faded out. It's not punchy enough, doesn't pop out. So it's all there. And yet, sorry, this evidence is suddenly repackaged to suggest that, this is what the fans want. There's been no vote or anything. It should at the very least be put up against the round badge. Now, you know, I'm not here defending that round badge design, and, you know, I'm not going to defend that the process. Again, no consultation on the survey there. And it was created to justify a certain pathway because, very loosely speaking, the club saw there's a lot of love for the round badge on Twitter and social media, and so they wanted to score a tap in. And so the whole thing was almost like constructed to go down that path, because the final three designs, one of them was the Lion Unleashed, which was essentially the Lion, Aston Villa along the top, and 1874 under it. And broadly speaking, that was the best of the three designs, and that's the one I voted for. But then the consensus was, well, we can use the lion out of the badge anyway. But I think if that choice was selected, I don't think we'd have gone through any of this bullshit. The round badge essentially is like, it doesn't have the, you look at the old round badge, and of course it's got the retro feel and the sentimentality. And this badge is almost like, it's like Hollywood remaking a 1970s, 80s film, isn't it? You lose that kind of charm, and there's something missing from it. But at the same time,
it's somewhat hollow.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's a quite good analogy to what is missing from it. But at the same time, the club was so desperate to have that they got rid of the Unleashed badge and just had that vote, the final two vote of the shield stroke lamp and the round badge. And the first consultation meeting was really good, really well considered. It was basically various fan reps, etc., talking to the designers with no input from the club. And then after that first meeting, we never had a conversation like that again. And it was almost like it never happened, considering the second meeting and some of the drafts that we saw, which was very disappointing. Yeah, this is people at the club just shooting themselves in the foot because they didn't actually do the whole process well. And now we're in a position where, never mind being led down the path, there's no path to be led down this time. The new people making the decisions this time have just taken it upon themselves. And yet there's laws there now, there's rules, there's a reason why this, you know, this has gone into Parliament over years and years now, and this fan-led governance review and the white paper that's come up, and why the Premier League are desperate to get in front of that. That's why the FA also have brought out these rules in terms of heritage assets. That's why the Premier League created this fan advisory board tag to change any consultation groups or whatever. It's to safeguard all this so the white government white paper doesn't need to be implemented by independent people and interfering in their business. And we've already seen the first example, how, you know, how they fucked up and how their rules are just being circumnavigated, and they've got to sort that shit out. So answer your question, Ali. The rules have been questioned to the FA and the Premier League, and we'll hear back in the next few days.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ian Kennedy, have we got the players to unlock teams that sit 10 behind the ball?
I think so, when everyone's fit.
Yeah, I agree as well, because Emery's only had one 0-0 draw in his Premier League history.
Yeah, I think I see people missing Buendia in that respect. I think, yes, he does help, but, I mean, he's gone missing in games, etc.
Yeah, so. Tielemans and in-form Ramsey, they can both unlock because they can drive at teams. You know, Bailey, when he's in good form, I think Moreno and Ramsey as a pairing on the left-hand side, they can unlock teams and have shown they can
before. If you use him well, because he's got obviously the pace.
Yep.
Unlocking's the problem. It's being clinical when you do unlock them. I mean, sometimes you're maybe only going to unlock them once or twice a game, but you need to take your chance when you have it.
Yeah, I've been impressed by how Villa do attack sometimes, especially, you know, you've seen goals where they've, you know, they've strung X amount of passes together and it's like, well, this is, they're actually playing real football here, and that's how you break teams down.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the goals against Arsenal and City that week were great examples of that. Of which there have been many.
Some of these games we've let ourselves down with defensive errors where suddenly, you know, you need to obviously score more goals. And that's what been one of the problems. If we can really tighten up the defensive side of things, we create enough chances to pick up 3 points in most games.
Agreed.
Jags, Pandal asks, I think we need Konsa at centre-back. It's nice having the flexibility of switching him to right-back, but doesn't the team look far more settled with him central? Also, what's the deal with our players getting caught up in silliness? Brentford and Everton away. These are not the dark arts. It's immaturity, potentially. I think he's saying Konsa, there's reasons why he does it. Is it because he doesn't trust Cash defensively and isn't getting enough upside of Cash going forward? So
maybe
Konsa gives you a bit more solidity. I mean, especially when you're having to play Carlos and Longley rather than Torres.
And I think with the emergence of Bailey on the wing against better sides who, you know, will attack you, City, Arsenal, etc., I think having a more solid right back allows Bailey to kind of go and win you the game as opposed to having to be a duo with Cash, which I don't always think they are the most stable defensively.
We always used to talk about how Cash is targeted in games previously in previous seasons. Also, I think, I mean, it kind of boils down to would you rather have Carlos in your first 11 than Cash? Because obviously he's moving across Konsa to accommodate Carlos. Carlos, I don't think he's there yet, but if he got really up to speed and it was top boy, then you kind of have to have him in, don't you? Torres, him, and then Konsa. It's kind of they've played themselves in the team. It's almost like, you know, like a football manager game where actually you've got two centre-backs in there because they're the best ratings, and then actually your third centre-back is also really good, and actually his rating, even though it's out of position, is better than the right-back.
And the fact he can play, you know, he's not just a centre-back at right-back, he can actually, you know, he's a good athlete and he's good on the ball.
Yeah, he's technically good. When you beat Manchester City and Arsenal with Konsa at right-back, there's not a problem, is there?
No.
And in regards to sort of, you know, the silliness, I think if you look at the context of both of those games, I think it was just frustration spilling over. I don't necessarily think of it as silliness.
Yeah.
Brentford, there was a bit of silliness from both sides that set it up. Everton, I think we reacted to Everton sort of, you know, some pretty feisty tackles. It was just a feisty game. Brentford was just one of those games where the ref lost the game. Immaturity, I wouldn't say so, because actually I think we've generally shown really good mentality for the most part under Emery, and our disciplinary record is generally pretty good.
Yeah, but some of the refereeing would push the patience of a saint, because it seems to be a one-way punishment when it comes to things like that there. I mean, one person gets sent off, Kamara, whenever Plenty grabbed at him exactly the same way. It's just, I think they're only human if they do boil over every now and again.
Mark McLean Dixon says, please clarify our FFP situation.
Good luck.
You need to know the figures. I don't know. None of us are privy to the wages. None of us are privy to the proper transfer fees and situation. Steve Best asks, are there any ulterior motives behind cancelling Novstan development due to the shit transfer links? Could they be considering a move to a new stadium? I don't think that for one second. You got to remember, I think Chris,
We talked about this.
Yeah, about actually we've got pretty decent transport links when you boil it down. It's the utilisation.
You know, as I said before, most Premier League teams would dream of having two train stations, two main arterial roads and a major motorway junction on their doorstep. Villa have all those things and the potential for ample parking at both ends of the ground. Villa just don't engage with the local authorities well enough. Or indeed, the local authorities don't engage with Villa. It's a two-way thing. It's multi-agency, as they call it. But in Birmingham, as we've seen with the council, it's shambolically run. Yeah. When we saw this with the Commonwealth Games, for anybody who was lucky enough to go to that, you saw what Birmingham can do when it wants to.
Yeah. So that's not the alternate motive. The alternate motives, as I've mentioned, it might be a bit of short-termism in terms of, ooh, if we get in the Champions League, we might miss out on a few quid on ticket prices. But also, I mean, there's a bigger debate because, you know, I've sat in many a consultation on that new stand and the conversation about would you build it over the top of the existing stand so you can actually keep some capacity as you go along, or would you just start it from scratch and build a whole completely new build? And they looked into obviously both options and looked at other grounds and went to Liverpool and looked at how that happened. But the whole kind of Frankenstein element of having old and new mixed together, the kind of retrofitting aspect, they just decided no, actually that can hemorrhage you further down the line and it's best to start from scratch. And that was what was decided. So here we are going down the route that we declared was not the way we wanted to go. And, you know, talk of like filling in the corners and adding to the existing. That North Stand needed a wrecking ball through it. That was everybody knew that from Faulkner onwards. So this is the concern. And I'm interested to see how this plays out. I've always wondered how we suddenly fill out our stadium now. In modern days, social media, it's a good hype machine. But there have historically been issues of having enough, you know, fans to fill out the stadium. I just thought in this new wave, then probably, yes, we would be able to. But I think they're having a second thoughts about that because they know that waiting list is just a marketing FOMO thing, isn't it? To get supporters to jump through hoops. If the first figures they gave us of only 5,000 people have actually on that list been to Villa Park in the last 4 years is true, then you can see the foundations of how the data on having an extra 10,000 seats, whether they would fill, why you would have second thoughts. So there's no, I don't think there's any conspiracy that we're moving away to a new stadium at this point. What I will say though is I'm a bit concerned about how far we're falling behind in terms of capacity. When you've got the likes of Everton are going to be 10,000 more, West Ham already, you know, what, 15,000 more? Spurs?
Yeah, they're at 60, aren't they?
Yeah, Spurs, 15,000 at least more. All these, Newcastle, they're looking to add in about 2,000-3,000 at least.
And you've even got like teams in the league below. You've got teams like Sunderland who can get more than us.
So all these clubs that are in our ballpark all have aspirations to go where we want to go, and suddenly they've all got at least 10,000 more seats. That's my concern. It's not the concern of people working at the club who probably be here for only a few years. It's the bigger picture.
Even Fulham were able to build a modern, you know, flagship stand on their ground. Didn't do them any harm.
Yeah, so there is a concern because so many, from Lerner to the Chinese clown show, looked at new North Stand, and everybody's brought, you know, their own plans to the table. So it's been a thing that the club really wanted to do, regardless of who was running it. And then suddenly Chris Heck turns up and suddenly it's off the table. Now, obviously, macroeconomic situation isn't ideal. I expected delays, but just to basically rubbish it and then say, oh, we might fill the corners in. And that stands, it's a nightmare, isn't it? It's like can hammer horrors.
Fuck knows how you're going to do that with the linkage to the Doug Ellis.
And it's a compromise. It just stinks of a compromise. Steve Hughes does ask us similar questions on the North Stand. If now is not the right time because of a loss of revenue, when is? Newcastle got in the Champions League and still struggling with FFP. United and Chelsea to start pushing up sooner or later. How can Villa and Newcastle sustain top six? Yes, I know it's designed to stop us. And it seems to me the most important aspect is recruitment as well as winning. Personally, I always would say, and I'm sure that Heck and Hatton, they say the same thing because it's a fact that FFP does seriously hinder the Villa owners. And Villa owners are used to kind of getting what they want by spending money in terms of growing businesses, and here their hands are tied. And it's an ongoing frustration for them. And they would want to spend a lot more on players. And, you know, Perslo, for example, always talked about there needs to be rule changes, and, you know, maybe there'd be a catalyst like the blood sacrifice of Everton. If Everton got relegated last season or this season, then suddenly they're in a situation where they've got a new stadium to pay for, and suddenly they're stripped of the Premier League TV money. And if they didn't get up, they'd be in the shit. And suddenly Premier League would probably be forced to change their rules on FFP. That was one avenue of thought in terms of how it changes. In terms of the North Stand, this is the funny thing. Like, Heck came out of the interview and said, oh, you know, we're playing, we want it to be Fortress Villa Park, and taking away a stand for a couple of seasons isn't a great, I think it's a great way of doing it. And supporters start to like going, yeah, I agree with that now, you know. It's like, what? So the only time you can do something, change a stand, is if you're playing badly and you're not getting results. Because if you're playing 15
years to do that, then Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're not playing well and you're down, then the crowds won't come.
Especially at Villa Park, historically.
And, you know, this is the thing, like when you're being lied to as supporters and certain rules are being broken as well, you're not allowed to question that because, oh, we're doing well on the pitch. It's a real fickle and strange attitude some supporters have. And this is a weird
especially,
thing about...
Especially when, you know, the club is split in half now, isn't it? So the commercial team are their own thing and the sporting side are their own thing. It's been designed that way, which means it's very easy now for the supporters to compartmentalise that. You can go, right, we're winning on the pitch, players, staff, well done, job well done so
Monchi,
far.
Monchi, well done, even though you haven't really done anything yet.
Yeah, but you can be on that side. Good luck moving forward. However, you lot in your commercial department, especially you lot, because you're new, you weren't here building this team particularly, and you haven't bought the players, these questions are for you.
Yeah, and it should be the easiest job in the world when you have the most success in the pitch that there's been in like a decade.
Villa is a PR tap-in at the moment, and they're somehow managing
And some of these guys are used to easy jobs because they've, you know, one of them worked at Manchester United when they were winning trophies and European Cups.
Yeah, look at them now.
It's dumbfounding how you can mess up and piss on supporter sentiment so badly in light of a team doing really well on the pitch, the best it's done for ages.
I've actually never known a disparity be like this at Villa in my lifetime. Normally, when we've been crap on the pitch, we've been crap on the off the pitch. When we've been good on the pitch, it's generally been fairly stable on it.
But it is a tricky one, Steve, in terms of this balance of FFP and how do teams like Newcastle and Aston Villa... I mean, it's funny, the Newcastle situation, because you've got a perhaps even more extreme situation than the Villa owners. Newcastle are desperate. Their owners are desperate to be the best team in the Premier League. Like, their only aim is number one. I mean, blatantly
saying... They want to rule the world.
First episode of the Amazon documentary, they say, we're not here to like be top four or mess around. We're here to be number one, the best. And FFP is their main headache as well. So it does have its upsides.
Thank God in that sense.
Andy Cooper, are you, Chris, and Phil jealous of that fellow who does the Eurovision show with David because he feels more continental?
No, I think David gets enough of me and Phil every week, and we get enough of David. It works out well for everyone.
You can't get more continental than Phil Shaw, surely.
I think you can. I think. Yeah. No, I'm not jealous of Armin at all. He
brings Phil are big buddies of behind the scenes.
He brings a knowledge to it that I don't have, and a pronunciation that I definitely don't have.
Him and Phil are always plotting behind the scenes. I don't know what, there's going to be a coup at some time. I don't know who's about
spin-off show. They're going
to
get their own series.
David Grimmett asks, if Mings was fit right now, would he come back in, or are Torres and Konsa first choice pairing now at centre back?
Good question.
This is why I wanted Mings to be fit. I was fascinated to see how this Konsa, Carlos, Mings, Torres situation was going to play out this season. That was like a sideshow in its own. And we've kind of been deprived of that. And
What I would say is Mings has played fullback. Have all four of them. Four centre-backs across the back.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Away from home in Europe and park the bus. There we go.
You can then get rid of probably one of those deep sitters.
Yeah, Kamara, FFP as well. Sorted. Yep, there we go. all sorted.
Alan Hipkiss, after 12 months of great football and results, has our style of play finally been figured out by teams and we need to tweak it or a plan B? I think the idea of Emery is to have a style that's so good that you can't defend against it. Well, to a certain extent, it's like it's hard to play against if it hits its optimum.
Yeah, look at that City game. You know, City knew what was coming. They'd have been so well prepped and they couldn't get near us at times. We've, you know, bearing in mind we've been winning games, you know, earlier in the year, fours and threes. Brighton got done six. You know, there's been a fair few teams who've come to Villa Park and got a pasting. Has it been figured out? I don't necessarily figure it out. People know what's coming.
A lot of it depends. If it plays to its optimum, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
But it also relies on you being drawn in, I think.
Yeah. So if you don't engage,
yeah,
there's a problem.
I think it's more of a personnel thing in terms of freshening it up, because despite what, you know, people deride the moments of magic that Gerrard said, but you do need a bit of sprinkler stardust in this system in terms of finishing the job off at the other end. Dan Cathal Patrick says, with great success and expectations comes insane money for wages. I recently heard that Longley is here on Barcelona wages of around 200k a week. Is it even possible to fix how ridiculously corrupt the money has made this support? What proportion of the fans are even interested? Even though it's ultimately the matchday fans who end up paying much of the expenses in making clubs and leagues profitable. Matchday fans, hardly a drop in the ocean.
TV deal.
TV
sponsorship.
Deal. Many years ago now, about 10 years ago, there was an increase in TV revenue that was so big, the difference was they could actually let fans in free the next season.
And they'd still be up.
They wouldn't be any worse off. It's nothing. It's peanuts, comparatively.
Yeah, well, if Longley's in 200 grand a week, you must say, what, 9 months he's here? That's about 1.8 million. So you're not going to get someone much cheaper to cover the position than 1.8 million. So it's whenever you start paying that amount of money and a transfer fee as well.
Yeah, the horse is bolted. I mean, it's insanity. I think the whole game is fucked with a capital F in terms of the money situation. It's full of leeches and charlatans.
And it's the thing of everybody knows that it's so difficult to compete. You're almost at the point where you can't. You know, you look at Newcastle, they're richer than all the other 19 teams put together. That's including the Sheikh at Man City. And even they are struggling. The Saudis are astronomically more wealthy than everyone.
I can't see how you can have, like, the pure love I used to have for football as a kid. Like, you kick, you know, you've got a tattered football that you use until it's all the leather dropped off.
Jumpers for goalposts.
Yeah, now, as I don't know what a kid thinks, it's all like
FIFA ratings and
the soul's gone. It's all like having a bloody Messi shirt. I look at it, we do this podcast because, you know, we like to look at the freak show, really.
And be part of it sometimes.
Yeah. Ben Archer, other than that 100 million lad, are there any other players who left the club since we were relegated that you think would be valuable additions to our current team? I don't actually think he would be. I'm still stand my ground on his persona grew and grew and grew the less he played. He was injured for a third of most seasons, and his goals and assists, every club he joins, every manager that comes in, it's like, oh yeah, I've had a word with a manager, they said I need more goals and assists. Every interview was always that, because it's true. Anyway, enough of that player that we can't remember his name of.
Since we were relegated.
Oof.
Tough that, isn't it?
Have we got rid of anybody that was good?
I mean, Veretu got good, but he wouldn't get in the current team. Idrissa Gana Gueye came good. He wouldn't get in the team.
Yeah. I think we've got a pretty good team now in all.
Sam Johnson, maybe. I'd have him as a backup goalie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd even have Heaton if he could stay fit.
Oh, yeah. If Heaton could have stayed fit, he'd have been all right.
But that's at the level you're at. I mean, strikers, have we got rid of anybody since we were relegated?
Struggling. Rudy Gusted, Jordan Ayew, Ross McCormack, Scott Hogan,
Tammy
Jimmy
Abraham
Concha.
Went before.
I probably carved a decent career out. He wouldn't be the worst option off the bench.
Yeah, he's probably the only one who hasn't gone straight into the glue factory, really. The 100 million lad, yes, he would still get in this team, and certainly in the matchday squad would be useful. But yeah, this is a decent team. That's why we're in the top four at the moment.
I mean, I always thought at the time as well, I always wondered what Jordan Amavi would have been in a good side.
Yeah, he's disappeared, hasn't he, a bit?
Yeah. Other than that, I don't you know, I'd like to not think about those that period. You know, the decline was bad enough. The relegation was worse. The first couple of years in the Championship were horrendous.
Yeah. Hella Villain asks, if I were to travel to the UK and stay in London, would the trip be better planned to go to Villa Park via train or bus? This differs in its both hypothetical at the moment and only in my mind because my brother suggested stay in London but travel to Villa Park. Or as a lifelong Villa fan in the US, should I just stay in Birmingham? Well, if you're making the trip, I would make sure you see both cities.
Absolutely, and see as much of the country as you can, depending on how long you're over for.
Yeah, some villains from America come over and they go ground hopping and they go and see three or four games of very randomness. They'll end up in Preston and Huddersfield.
And a Wednesday night, a nice wet night at Swindon.
You, Kurt.
Give yourself a night in Birmimgham. That's what I'd recommend. Go and have a curry.
Yeah, do a night in Birmingham. Go and see a game. Stay the night in Birmingham on that day, and you know, have a curry and all that kind of jive. But if you're staying for a while, there's a lot more to do. And obviously in London,
work your way home via Stratford, perhaps, or
Birmingham is a bit cheaper though.
Pop up to Manchester perhaps for a day. go to Edinburgh. Go over and see Phil in Belfast as well.
No, don't
Edinburgh's
do that.
All right, Manchester. They'll end up returning back to the States as a United or City fan. Don't tempt fate.
Or a
there.
Preston fan, depending on what game he goes to.
Yeah, though trains and transport links are really shit now. But I'd take a train if you can get a book ahead and get the hour 21 a cheaper rate.
Yeah.
Right, that's enough of that. Thank you very much for your questions. And if you have anything in mind, look out for the next request. Or if you are a member of My Old Man Said, there's always the Mad Few channel in Match Club to add any suggestions you have throughout the weeks and the months. If you want to become a My Old Man Said member and get access to extra shows, ad-free shows as well, and obviously access to Match Club to become one of our inner circle, then do go to myoldmansaid.com and check out more details there on the membership link. Right. Pleasure as always, gentlemen. On that note, it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.